Well, Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in us. Lord, we thank you for taking care of these fires over here. We just glorify your name, Lord, because you deserve our praises, Father. You deserve all the praises of your saints, Lord. You're a good God. You're a God that answers prayer. You're a God that can be trustworthy, that is trustworthy, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Father, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're not going to have any kind of communication problem whatsoever because you're protecting all of us, Lord. And I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for exposing the arsonists that are setting these fires. And I praise you, Father, for keeping the fires out of the boat here, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that we're going to get a rain. Rain is on the way, and I praise you, Father, that it's going to extinguish all of these fires, Lord, and expose the arsonists and catch them, Lord. We thank you for exposing them and finding out who they are and allowing them to be caught, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for tonight's broadcast, conference call, Lord, and fellowship. We thank you for each and everybody that shows up. We ask that you bless them mightily, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that we speak only as you want us to speak, Lord. Open our ears, our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes tonight, Lord, to see the things of the spirit realm, Father. And we thank you for it. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I want to recite something here out of the book of Psalms. And it's Psalms 107. Somebody needs to mute their phone. I'm getting some feedback here. That's you, Kurt? No. But anyway, here's what Psalms 107 says. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And excuse me, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. I saw that today and I said, I have got to recite that tonight. I just love that psalm. Praise God. All right. Let's see. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody hear me? I know y'all hear me.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. No prayer requests? What about testimonies? Praise reports.
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
I haven't got a praise report. Just a big thank you for the Lord. We prayed for rain, I think, about 3 weeks ago. And we got some lovely rain the last couple of weeks. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Yes, Lord. Y'all just don't get that very often, do you, Joe?
Not that much, but better now.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for rain. Lord, we just ask you for that here, too. We prayed for it, Lord, and we're believing. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else with a testimony, prayer report, or would like to pray about something?
Michael?
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for really nice weather, for the sun. I just love the sun and nice weather, so we're able to get some firewood because we need some firewood cut. And a wonderful garden. We've had over 100 butternut squash this year. And and I lost something the other day. Well, actually, it was weeks ago, and I finally found it. So I thank the Lord for that.
Praise God. Yeah, that butternut's my favorite.
Now, yeah, we like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do so much with those things.
Yeah, that was it.
All right. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we've got a little old plot out back here that David and I plant. And we planted it in butternut, and I don't know, we probably got 25 or 30 out of it. Judy, do you have a mute button?
Yeah, I do. Sorry, when I thought it was on.
No.
I mean, it was off.
Yeah, okay. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
All right.
I have a praise report.
Okay.
I told it at our meeting, but I'll tell it here, too. I was kind of having some uneasy, I just couldn't sleep. I just felt jittery or, I don't know, anxiety or what it was. But I just couldn't sleep for about 2 or 3 days. And I just kept praying and asked the Lord, well, what is going on here? You know, I just can't relax and I was so tired. So I started telling the Lord, okay, I'm reading your verses and I'm praying. And I'm putting on worship music, and I was saying all these things. I kept hearing the word I was doing this, and I was doing that. And even though, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, you know, I was still working kind of hard to get something done here. But I felt like he was saying, okay, now how about resting and let it get done? So I quit telling myself that, I mean, I just did the things, but I kept not thinking I had to do these things, or, you know. So I praise the Lord that he took me out of that, and I'm sleeping really good now. So thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the promises he's given us, a good night's sleep.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, Amen. You really appreciate it when you don't sleep for a while, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'll just praise the Lord for his sovereignty over everything, how he works things out when we don't see what he's doing, and after it's over, then we realize what he was doing. I'll just share what happened with us last Thursday night. We weren't on the teleconference because we had a supper to go to. It's the local rescue mission. They have one every year here, and we went to that, and we got there, and, you know, you can make reservations ahead of time. You can reserve a whole table, and then you invite people to, you know, come and sit at that table. And, well, we just had a reservation, but we didn't have a table like that. And when we got there, we weren't really late, but I guess everybody else came early. And there really wasn't no place to sit. And so we went up and told the people who were in charge there we didn't have a place to sit. And he said, well, I know this one table where some of the people aren't going to be there, so I'll take you over there. And he took us over there, and we no more and sat down. This couple come up and sat down beside us, and we had talked to him good. You know, we had a good talk during the supper and stuff, and end up giving a Sovereign God book afterwards. And it turns out he is the head of the ministry in the rescue mission in Omaha, which is a huge ministry or a huge rescue mission. And so I just thank the Lord, because I know that was a divine meeting. I mean, I think, just talking to the guy, I think he will read that Sovereign God book, and I think he will be teaching some of the stuff that's in there. At least that's what we're praying. So I just praise the Lord for the way he works things out. Looked like we were late and didn't have a place to sit, and that was his plan all the while, I think.
Amen. Well, Lord, we're just thinking that there's going to be a lot of fruit from that Sovereign God book shared by that minister. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. That's good. Thank you, Father. Sowing them seeds. All right. Anybody else?
I'd like to share something.
All right.
Debbie. Yeah, I think I shared a few weeks ago about a friend I was visiting in the nursing home. Actually, an older woman that I met there when I had a job there, and she's had MS. She's had it for a long time, but she's been in the nursing home for 10 years. Didn't know the Lord at all, so I was doing a lot of sharing with her, and she prayed with me to receive Jesus, and so I've been talking to her as I've been visiting her. And so last time I talked to her, she just wasn't responding really well. I went over everything again with her, make sure she understood things. And today when I went to visit her, it had been like almost 2 weeks since I saw her, because I've been so busy with, I think we shared for prayer for our daughter who had preeclampsia and kinds of problems, and the Lord has really met her, but that's why I didn't get to this woman. And I prayed today and asked the Lord to give me a sign while I'm visiting her that I know that God is real to her. And so I went in there and I started talking to her, and I don't know how the conversations began, just kept bringing up things about the Lord and about her healing. And she was confessing, I believe in Jesus, and I was telling her the promises of God and how by his stripes we are healed, to those who believe in Jesus and put their faith and trust in him and his shed blood. And she said, I believe in Jesus, I believe I'm healed. So she was just looking at me right into my eyes and telling me this, like it really matter of fact. So I just praise God for that. And I got to pray with her again and telling her just to wait patiently for the manifestation of that healing and be thanking him. And she said, yes, I will do that. And so I just really feel that God is real to her. I truly believe that now. And just praise him for working in her life. So she's been such a sad way. She's never had any family or anybody visiting her. I also shared with her when I was talking about her healing, I shared with her my testimony from my hip joints that I shared last week. And by the way, those are still good. I jogged again today and my hip joints aren't bothering me. So I believe God has healed me, brought forth the manifestation of those healing of that degenerative hip disease. So praise the Lord. He's so good.
Praise God. Yes, he is. He is so good. Thank you, Father, for your healing power. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a praise report, a testimony, or would like to pray about something? Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? I know I didn't get you an email out. I thought we'd just talk a little bit tonight and see what's going on, okay? Not that anything's going on, but I mean, you know what I mean. Just kind of fellowship a little bit. But you know what a fellowship is? It's when I talk and then y'all talk and I talk and y'all talk. I'm just saying, okay?
Michael, did you mention one time that you were into ham radio?
Yeah, I'm an amateur radio operator.
Okay. Yeah, I just got one not too long ago, an older unit, a power supply, an old Yaesu. And
Yaesu, yeah.
Yaesu, or however you say that name.
Yeah.
And I'm just using my roof antenna. That's all I've got right now. I ain't got no big tower. Some of the stuff's pretty expensive, so just little by little, studying for my license, novice license.
Great, awesome. You get on, you going to go for your general?
Yeah, eventually. I'm just 2 weeks ago got all this and just been studying online and got a little manual and everything. And maybe once I get my license, I'm able to, you know, legally have the right to talk and I can call people all over and can talk with you.
That's right. You sure can. I've been a ham for, gosh, many decades.
Wow.
My family, my dad was a ham, and all my brothers were hams, or still are. So, yeah, I've been doing it quite a while. Matter of fact, we have a communications network set up here in the local fellowship, and we've got radios out, and that's kind of what we have here. And matter of fact, I've got a Yaesu myself.
Well, I've had a shortwave radio for years, several of them. I had one of those old-fashioned Atlantic, Oceanic, just like in the 50s, a black and white face. And anyway, I just listened to all these people that are getting these DX cards and stuff, and, you know, just learning the terminology is one thing. But then I had single sideband on there, and I could pick up ham radio, you know, transmissions, but I couldn't transmit, and then I got listening to them, and I thought, well, shoot, I want to get into ham radio, so now I'm into ham radio.
Okay, well, good. It's a lot easier for the license now. When I took it, I had to know code.
Yeah, I don't have to do the Morse code.
Yeah, but all right, that sounds good, man. When you get your license, holler at me. There's a lot of. In your area there's a lot of ham radio guys that will help you with that test. Matter of fact, they'll give the test to you.
Yeah, they got a couple of clubs down here I noticed. I've seen online, so I'm going to have to look up these guys so I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, matter of fact, both of my brothers are David lives in Little Rock, and he's with... I'm trying to think of the frequency, 92.7. No, wait a minute. Well, we'll talk about it later. But anyway, that's good. I'm glad to hear you doing that, Bill. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about?
Mike?
Yeah, Wayne.
I want to repent. I told a lie. I said that I did not have a mic. I do have a mic. I know it's not no major deal, but God is saying don't be a liar. You know, I don't know why I said it other than that. I'm not good with software, and I don't know how to hook it up, how to get the system, you know, either Skype or whatever you're going to use for phone. So, but I repent of saying that I did not have a mic.
Okay, that's fine. That's pretty easy. Whenever the time comes, we'll get with you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Forgive me.
Sure. Anybody else?
Michael, you mentioned in your opening prayer about fires there in Tennessee. What's happening with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, as of yesterday, there's been over 10,000 acres here just in East Tennessee alone that have been burned up by arsonists. And we've had a terrible smoke here for the last couple of days. And then a few days ago, we had some pretty stout smoke. But it's starting to clear out, looks like. And hopefully they'll catch these guys and make an example out of them. I don't know what they are or why they're doing it, but it's all over East Tennessee, North Georgia, over in Middle Tennessee too, isn't it, Vanessa?
Yeah, and a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So I don't know if hers are being started by arsonists or not, but I know that they reported that they have caught a couple of people here in East Tennessee setting them. So that's why we prayed and we believe in. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to preserve all of your woods and houses and all that stuff here in the boat, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know who's doing it, but and it's not actually. Hey, Chris, are you still in here?
Chris, yes, sir, I'm here.
Are y'all having anything over in Virginia?
It's more likely there's a little bit. It's out towards the Tennessee border, out in southwest Virginia.
Okay. All right. And I think they're having some over on North Carolina side too, aren't they?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of all over this part of the United States. So I don't know if it's, I don't know who it is, but could be a mixture of natural and it's real dry here in East Tennessee anyway. It's been a while since we've had a real good soaking rain. That could be a major factor too, you know. But that's kind of what's going on. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Well, I had somebody email me from the conference call and was making some suggestions, and one of them was that we try to find a conference call that would allow us to raise our hands when we wanted to talk and be able to maybe even see one another in the video type of conference call, or at least tell who's on, you know. And I have already looked into that. I looked into it here a while back, and it just kind of put it on the back burner. But I think we'll go ahead and it's pretty much about the same deal as what we've got here, except it's added video if you use a PC. And I think you can still call in on the phone as well. I'm going to look into it further, and hopefully by next week we might be able to test drive that bad boy and see what it looks like and see if we like it. So, but I'll notify everybody before it happens next Tuesday. If it happens next Tuesday, I don't know if they work that quick or not. I suppose so. But anyway, what do y'all think about that? Is that something y'all would like to have, to be able to find out who's on and be able to even we can upload audio onto it if we need to, if there's something that we want everybody to listen to. And also, this person recommended, we used to do a little bit of praising God during this time as well. Malcolm would play the piano, and we'd sing gospel songs, you know, Christian songs, and we just have a good time. So I don't know why we couldn't do that again. You can't do this with this service that we're in now, but we could with this Zoom that I'm fixing to look at and try to get more into it. Hopefully we can try it out and see how we like it. What do y'all think about that? Does that sound like something you'd like to try?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. That would be great to sing and to know who else is on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that works out.
Amen. I kind of like the idea. Is anybody else, or is y'all just not?
I like the idea.
Sounds good.
Great idea.
What's that, Claudia?
That
was Debbie. Claudia. Oh, is that Debbie? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it's a good idea. Yeah, wonderful.
Okay. Good
deal. I think it would be great. This is Claudia this time.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like a good idea to me, too.
Amen. I thought so. I think so.
Would this be something you can do on your laptop?
Yes, absolutely. You can do it on your laptop or your tablet if you've got internet connection. Absolutely. And
hey Michael, if you don't have Skype, would it work anyway? Sorry for the echo. It's the speaker, so just bear with me.
Yeah. No. I think so. I'm not sure. I have to.
Okay.
We just have
smartphones. We don't have internet here, so we're just wondering.
Oh no! You'll be able to do it on your phone as well.
Oh, okay. All right. That answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, you can do it with your phone. You can have video or not. You don't have to have video. If you don't want anybody seeing you, that's fine, you know. But you'll still be able to see what you have.
I'm sorry. I don't really care if we're seeing or can see each other or not. I just wondered because I don't know if these smartphones work with Skype or not. I've never set it up. I don't know if it's in here or not, but as long as we can get on and join it, that's what I was wondering. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you can get Skype for your smartphone, for your Android. I've got it on mine and I can do that on mine. So I'm sure you can, if you got a smartphone. Absolutely. Or if you just have a dumb phone, you can just call in on a number, you know, and be there in the conference call. That's fine too, you know. It's whatever. I think it's pretty wide range of ways to communicate with the conference call, more so than this one is. And the thing that I like about it, if there's been a couple of instances in the past where I wanted to bring an audio up here and let y'all listen to it, you know, and see what you thought about it, and we'd talk about it, and I hadn't been able to because you can't do that on this particular provider. And so, but on Zoom, you can, and I think it'd be great. It would expand our way of communicating with one another in a better way, I think. And it's actually not any more expensive than what we're doing now.
Yeah, I think it would spice things up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I probably have my camera off. Y'all don't want to look at me. I'm going to have it off. I'm just kidding. What do you think, Chris? You think that'd be a good deal?
Sure. I don't know how much internet connection I have, but sure, that sounds good to me.
Well, like I said, you know, you don't really have to have internet. You can get on with your phone, too. You may not be able to, I don't know if you can see everybody else, but you might. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, now, you don't want to see me. I'm good with that.
I already know what you look like. Yeah, I know about what everybody looks like except Wade and Jeanette. And let's see, who else? I've met just about everybody. Let's see. Except for Andrew and Megan and Joe and Nora. I've met just about everybody else. But anyway, that's what we're looking at, and I think it's going to be a good thing if we can get this thing looked at and try to get it installed on my computer and give y'all the access codes and all that stuff to go with it. I'm going to try to shoot for Wednesday or Tuesday of next week. Something else I wanted to ask you about, I thought about just maybe canceling Thursday night. I don't know what y'all think about it. Whatever y'all think. We have, we can either do it or not. It's just whatever y'all want to do. Hey, Albert.
Hey, Brother Mike.
What are y'all thoughts on Thursday night? What we do here, we have a little get together to fellowship, and that's in the afternoons. I could make it at night if y'all wanted to have a Thursday night. That's up to y'all, though. I'm gonna leave it entirely up to y'all.
I'll just say, Michael, on our part, we're fine either way, because we've been, you know, the Lord's been having us stay in contact with others in the body here regularly, so we're fine either way.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael, are you talking about this week Thursday or next week Thursday?
No, next week Thursday. I'm sorry. Thursday week. What is that, the 20? Oh, let's see. That's regular Thanksgiving, but we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We just have a fellowship that day. We have a good time, too. Talking about the Lord. Well, y'all be thinking about it. We'll talk about it again Thursday and next Tuesday. See how everybody feels about it. Albert, I was telling the rest of the guys here that and the gals that we're thinking about going to a different conference provider that would allow us to utilize our PCs so we could see one another, see who's on here. And actually, if you wanted to turn your video on so people could watch you, you could see them, or they could see you, or whatever. You could, or you don't have to. And also, it would allow us to upload audio. That has been a couple of times in the past, that I wanted to bring something up here, but I couldn't because you can't upload audio to this particular type of conference call provider. But that one, the one that I'm looking at, you can. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that you can utilize your phone or your PC in order to participate. And so it'd be basically the same thing as this one here, only you're able to see who's on and be able to interact. As a matter of fact, it has messaging also inside the conference call. In other words, if I wanted to send you a text message, I could do that through this provider. And if you wanted to send it to somebody else, you could do the same thing, you know. And so it's kind of like the way we had it with Cauliflower, except adding the uploading the audio and the video.
Yeah, that sounds really neat. That's like a great tool. Yeah, it'd be nice to share a video or teaching every once in a while. That sounds like a really good tool.
Yeah, I thought so too. So we're going to try it and see how we like it.
I'm interested in the music part too. I'd love to sing to praise the Lord.
I do too. I like that part too. We have done that in the past. Is Malcolm on here? Malcolm, you're not on here. But we have in the past. Let's see, who? Judy, was you on here when we did that? I know Chris probably was.
I don't think I was.
Oh, okay. How about you, Jackie? Yeah, you remember when we did some praise and worship here about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes, I do. It was awesome. It reminded me of Miss Mary and the old...
Oh, yeah.
...buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, Miss Mary and her playing the piano.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we'll be able to do with Zoom, you know. Be a lot better. So I think we'll enjoy it. I really do. All right, is there anything else somebody would like to bring up and talk about? This is tonight's fellowship night. It's y'all's night.
Michael?
Yes.
I read on Before It's News that Soros sent out 5 blocks of white vans to Chicago, like they want to burn the city down or whatever. And I was at Don's and we all prayed against it. And so I'm just asking that we pray against it here on the call.
I think okay.
It's probably to get martial law going or something.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, he's they've been there for a couple of days. I saw it a couple of days ago. So it's been
okay.
Up there for a while. But yes, we will. Father, we just thank you for binding up these anarchist spirits and these spirits of divisiveness and rebellion, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for thwarting the enemies, raining on their parade, Lord. I thank you for doing that. And I praise you, Father, for putting this man, George Soros, where he belongs. Father, if you're not going to, I pray that you would save him, Lord. But if you're not going to save him, I ask, Lord, that you you take him out of the equation. Father, take away his money. Take away his wherewithal to do anything. And, Father, I thank you for that. He has absolutely, Lord, created chaos in other countries and this country, Lord. I thank you, Father, for taking care of him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead.
I said amen.
Amen. Yes. Well, I read where Putin's got a warrant out for his arrest, dead or alive. That comes straight from Putin. So, I don't know if... accordingly, it's legit. See, he went over in Russia. George Soros went over there in Russia and created a lot of chaos over there with the money situation and just put them in economic problems, gave them a lot of economic problems and just a mess. Just like he's doing in the Middle East. He's just creating all kinds of problems over there. And, of course, here in the United States now, just like Judy said, he's hiring people to go to these protest places and create havoc. That's because he didn't get his way in the election. But praise God, we serve a God that knows how to, that will answer prayers, the prayers that he wants. And he's going to do it. If he comes against God's people, that man is history. I believe that. And that's what he's doing. He's interrupting the flow that God wants established. So we just look for it and see what happens. All right, anybody else? I want to talk about Jesus, don't y'all? I'm tired of politics. Anybody got anything they want to share? Anybody get a word? I know I didn't email tonight, but I thought we'd just talk a little bit about things.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
I have a verse that I'd like to know more what's being said, because it says, who can but prophesy? It's Amos 1:8. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Does that mean I'm not seeing who he's saying prophesies and who is not prophesying?
Amos 1:8, right? Yeah, let's all get there and see what he's got there. Amos 1:8. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Is that the one?
I will cut off. Yet, I guess it was. That's not what I was looking at. Oh man, I must have been about to lie and roar.
What is it?
It was. I'm sorry. That wasn't it. But I thought it said 1-8, so it might be 7-8. I don't know. My eyesight's not that good. It was a small caption. It was on a video, and I didn't see it any closer than that. So I'm sorry about that. It says where the lion roars, and it just says that the Lord speaketh, and who can but prophesy?
Okay, that's Amos. That's Amos chapter 3, verse 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Is that the one?
Yes, that's it.
Well, what do you think it means?
I can get the first part, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? And the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? That's what I'm getting. If the Lord speaks to you to prophesy, you prophesy. But I don't see that where it says who can but prophesy. That means everybody that the Lord speaks to, or?
Well, I think the guy is talking about, you know, I have to prophesy. If the Lord gives me a word, I'm going to say what the Lord says. Who can but prophesy? In other words, I ain't going to speak nothing but what the Lord tells me.
Amen. That's the word for me. For, you know, but,
Michael?
Yes, sir?
I think what you have in mind is just great. It'll draw us more close as a family.
Yeah, okay.
Video and all.
Okay.
And we'll just know each other more. It will strengthen us. I go along with that.
Okay.
And that's something.
All right, there's another yay.
I back her. Yeah, well, I think it'd be good.
Okay.
Might be a while before I get used to the software.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll take us all a little bit. Okay. Regarding Amos 3 and 8, does anybody else see anything else in there? Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I like the verse before it where it says, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets."
Amen. Well, you know, that's true. That's what God's been doing with us here. Somebody will have a dream or a word, and it'll be a warning, and we'll get in prayer mode and pray that thing out. And it's just, that's the way God speaks to us, you know. It doesn't have to be a prophet either. It can be anybody. God can use anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that he likes to tell us his secrets, though. To me, that's neat. I've always liked that.
Yeah. Amen. You've gotten a few words yourself, haven't you, gal?
Yeah, a few. I haven't been having as many dreams lately, but I've gotten some words.
Amen.
That's something that happened, started happening with me after I received the Holy Spirit years ago, and it was pretty dormant for a while until recently.
Yeah. Well, have you had anything since the 5-day thing?
I've had some dreams that I need to send in.
Okay. Well, have you had anything that the Lord's telling? You know what the Lord's telling? Is the Lord telling anybody anything? What's the Lord telling you? And I'll start out. I believe the Lord is telling me to spend more time with him and to pray more intercessory prayers. Kind of what I'm getting from the Lord myself. So Anybody else get anything from the Lord?
I have something, Michael.
Okay. Lakeisha?
Well, here, maybe yesterday or the day before, I was sitting outside and I was just thinking about different things. And then the word patience, you know, came into my mind. So I started thinking about it, you know. So I think about it vaguely and I'm like, oh, I know what patience is. But then as I thought about it more, I was like, well, no, I really don't know what patience is or why it's significant in the Bible or how important it is. So, you know, so I asked the Lord, you know, to give me more wisdom about just what is patience and how important is it in your word. So so today, you know, I started looking in the Bible for every occurrence of the word patience. And you know what I thought was very interesting? The word.
Go ahead.
The word patience, I only found it in the New Testament. And I was like, well, that's significant in itself. But anyway, so the Lord was just showing me, you know, to be more patient. And it's helped me to endure in different trials that I'm going through.
Amen. You know, that's the main reason for these trials that we go through is to create and to establish patience in us so that we're not, you know, freaking out every time something happens, for lack of a better way to say it. He wants us to be like dead men, don't he, Lakeisha? Well, we don't react or overreact to anything. That we're just steady as a rock because we know God's in control. Amen. All right, anybody else? That's good, Lakeisha. We all need patience. More of it.
Yeah, for me, Michael, I think it's pretty much what you said. One thing really I feel the Lord's been saying to pray for others, to intercede for others, really been stressing that to me.
Amen. Amen. You know, we got brothers and sisters around us, and most of us know, you know, who needs to be prayed for. And that's a good thing. You know, I'm learning new ways to pray for other people, too, scriptural ways to pray for other people, too. And maybe we'll get to share that a little bit later on. Okay, anybody else? What's the Lord showing you?
I was just going to add that waiting patiently is something that I've been hearing also, to wait patiently and to wait in quietness with a quiet spirit, and you know, just that we would be patient to hear his voice. So I guess he's telling a few of us that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, and that is what he's been telling me, too, is to wait for him, or wait on him.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? What's the Lord showing you? We've got that he's showing some patience. He's showing some to intercede more for the people around us. And some of us, he wants us to spend more time with him.
Yeah, I think for our little group here, what he's really telling us is speaking the word. We were doing that book about the tongue. I forget the name of it, but tongue conquers a curse.
Yeah.
And we all are really realizing that we need to do that a lot more than we do.
Boy, howdy. Yes, we do. I got an email today from a lady, and or I got one yesterday, and it was full of, you know, well, I have this, and I have that, and I have this, and I have that. And then, of course, I wrote back to her and gave her some scriptures and told her she, you know, would help her to read the real good news, and tongue conquers the curse. And then so, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We don't realize, you know, when we first get into these teachings that David's given us, that the Lord has given David, that we do curse ourselves quite often without understanding that that's what we're doing. We've all been taught to make fun of ourselves, you know, and when in fact God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to talk and speak as an oracle of Him. And like Marlon was talking about, we need to speak the scriptures rather than speak what's in our flesh, you know. And that's, boy, that's hard for some of us that's been doing it for many, many, many years. And we're coming into that realm of spiritual walk and being led by the Spirit. But it's one of those things that we go through, and God is teaching us. All right, anybody else? What's the Lord showing you? Chad, what's the Lord showing you?
Well, Zephaniah 2, and I read Zephaniah 2 and 3 today. Zephaniah 2 has been coming to my mind quite a bit lately, and I think I'll just start off by reading it and then share some things that the Lord has put on my heart. Terry and I listened to the last Bible study last night from, it was Sunday the 13th, and that was very edifying. I know David shared some, you know, a lot of graphic stuff about what's being and what will be exposed, but I found it edifying in that it is being exposed, and the Lord moved Charity and I into a very deep spirit of prayer after that, and that was awesome. So open up to Zephaniah 2, and actually I'm going to back up to Zephaniah 1, and I'll start with verse 14. It says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man crieth there bitterly." And what comes to mind is those that are mighty in flesh, you know, that have a lot of flesh. "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make an end, yea, a terrible end of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation that hath no shame, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you." Now, I'll pause here just for a moment. My thoughts on this verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2 here are, you know, he's speaking, he says, "O nation that hath no shame," and I'm thinking of, since, you know, he's speaking to his people here, really, are those that have not walked in repentance, those that have not really sought the Lord wholeheartedly, and even to them, there's a call here for repentance. You know, I see the mercy of the Lord even in this. And the next verse, verse 3, is the one that's been coming to my mind a lot. And I'll read it and I'll share my thoughts on it. It says, verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." And as my thoughts on that are, you know, here he's speaking to the humble now. I see in verse 1 and 2, it's like he's speaking to those that have no shame, have not walked in repentance. So there's a call of mercy even to those. But then here's a call to those who have been walking in what they know, who have had a at least somewhat of a close walk with the Lord. And yet he's saying, seek the Lord. And you know, he's talking to the meek here and those that have walked in what they know, that have kept his ordinances. And he's saying, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And so that's inspired me to really, you know, press in even more so for the grace of God, for more repentance, to be well-pleasing to Him, and to enter into that place where I can be hidden no matter what, you know, what happens around me, is that, to where I can stand and see by manifestation, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. And so that's really put more of the fear of the Lord in me, and really encouraged me to not get slothful at all, to not allow myself to get spiritually slothful, but to press in even more, and to, you know, get to that place where I'm boiling, I'm fervent in spirit at all times, even on the days that, and the Lord's been helping me to recognize this, which I'm very thankful for, even on the days where, you know, let's say I've come through 7 days of, 7 or 8 days or whatever, of very intense spiritual warfare, because I've been going through that a lot, both for myself and others around me, and so on and so forth. And then I get a day where I just really feel the blessing of the Lord. I feel a lot of peace. I feel rest more manifestly. But I've also recognized that, okay, now's not a time for me to sit back and relax. You know, the verse comes to mind. I don't remember what the passage is. I think it might be in Proverbs. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty shall come on you like a thief. And I've, you know, thinking on that, I'm like, okay, now that I need to stay watchful now in this moment. I need to, by the grace of God, and I'm like, Lord, help me to be watchful, to never get slack, to not go by that I'm feeling, you know, peace. I enjoy those days of peace. I enjoy that refreshment. The Lord knows what we need when we need it, and I'm very thankful for that. But yet at the same time, to not get, I found it a great temptation sometimes in my flesh just to relax on those days, and because it's like after coming through so much intense spiritual warfare, it's like, ah, finally I can, you know, vacation time. Oh, no, that's just a bad idea. So the Lord's been training me even in that, and I'm very thankful for that. So anyway, yeah, verses 1 and 2 of Zephaniah chapter 2, and seeing there that, you know, there's a call to of mercy to those that have just been asleep in the church. And then verse 3 is a call to those that have been walking in what they know, and walking humbly before the Lord, to go deeper. Don't get slothful or, you know, comfortable in the flesh in any way, but press in all that much more now, because we see the day drawing near, and the Lord is going to arise in His people that are on fire for Him and close with Him and have the world out of them. He's going to arise in a great way, and I just pray the Lord give us more and more understanding of that, and that He be glorified, because He's worthy. So, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yep, that's pretty much what He's saying to us, too. Drawing closer, and don't be slack in the Lord's work. And the Lord's work is praying, seeking Him, and doing those things He wants us to do. You know, I have a tendency on certain days where I know that I'm not ministering. Well, I don't know it, but I know that I don't have anything scheduled, that I tend to slack off a little bit, and like Chad says, kick back a little bit. But that's not what the Lord really wants us to do in these days. He wants us to press in, press in, press in. And that's kind of what He's been telling me as well. Okay. That's good, Chad. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's see. Somebody's not muted. That's Malcolm. Come on, Malcolm. I got him muted. If you want to get unmuted, a star, star. Okay. All right, anybody else? What's the Lord showing you? Is anybody talking to the Lord? Come on now. I know y'all talking to the Lord.
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
Can I ask a question? I'm not sure if it's a stupid question. But in John 13:27, and after the sop, and entered Satan unto him. Jesus therefore said unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. My question is, what part of Satan entering him? Did he get possessed, or is it just his thoughts? Do you understand? Or did I explain it differently? Michael?
Yeah, I was muted, dadgummit. I said, you said John 13:27, didn't you?
That's right.
Hello? Is that right?
That's right, John Michael.
Okay, and after the sop, then entered Satan into him. Jesus therefore saith unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. Now, I didn't understand your question.
What part of Satan entered into him? Is it, did he get possessed, or is it just his thoughts?
He got possessed by Satan at that time. Satan entered into him right then. And that's when he went and got the, and that's what Jesus told him. He said, what thou doest, do quickly. Because he knew that Satan had entered into him. You know, David pointed out, just a side note there, that sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. So, yep, Satan entered into him right there. I guess, is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I just want to make sure, yeah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And you know what was not odd about it, but the disciples didn't know who the one that was going to betray Jesus until it was done. They didn't know. They just thought the Lord was sending a man out to do a job for him, you know, or something. And they didn't know until they got over in the garden and he come up with all of those soldiers and stuff. All right. Anybody else? Well, let's see here. What's the Lord showing you, Jack? Go ahead.
This is Gaynold. I was just going to share the verse that I got this morning. And it was from 2 Corinthians 7. And my finger was on verse 4. I believe I'll start with verse 1 and read through verse 4. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We wronged no man. We corrupted no man. We took advantage of no man. I say it not to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die together and live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I overflow with joy in all our affliction. Verse 4 was the one that my finger was on, and I just was, the thing that caught my eye was, I overflow with joy in all our affliction. And I was, you know, speaking of making it personal as my affliction, the things that come upon me, that I'm to handle it with joy. And I just pray that I do. I know sometimes I'm not as joyful as I should be when tribulation comes my way. But anyway, that was the thing that came to me this morning. That was the verse that I got. But I especially do like verse 1 in this chapter 7. That we are to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Anyway, that was what I got this morning.
Okay. Praise God, yeah. If you got the fear of God, that's wisdom, isn't it?
Right. It's a very important thing to have. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Yep. The fear of God and love. Those are the two biggest things that the Lord wants us to have. Love toward the brother. You don't have love, you don't have anything. All right.
I just want to say something to go along
go ahead,
with that.
Debbie.
Yeah, to go along with that one, was really good. And that is that the fear of the Lord and hating the things that God hates. So he's been really speaking to me about that over just many, many weeks. And we've been really working on, not working on, actually God has really helped us that we have just done away with TV and things that have so much on it that God hates. And sort of being used to watching things and watching a movie and things. We start to watch a movie and see something and all of a sudden God would say to me, I hate that. Or something else. And God would say to me, I hate that. So I have to shut the thing off because, well, I hate it too if God hates it. So cleansing ourselves, cleansing our homes, and which helps cleanse our minds, which comes into our eyes and ears. So we've been really blessed because we just can't even listen to anything else anymore. All we listen to all the time is just David Eels. We listen to on YouTube all the time, so we're getting a lot from the Lord. And wanting to cleanse our temples by watching what comes inside through our eyes and ears.
Amen. That's very important, too. You know, that TV is a gate for the enemy.
Yes, it is.
And it makes no difference what you're watching because of the commercials that they've got on TV nowadays. Now, the only time that I happen to catch TV at all is when I go back to Arkansas. But I know that it's an evil gate. Besides that, it detracts from what the Lord is trying to teach us, you know. Get away from the world.
Amen. He's been speaking to me that everything else is a distraction. Everything's a distraction from what God wants to speak and just getting along with him and getting to know him, just taking the word and everything else just distracts. Not why he put us here, so not to enjoy those things, just to enjoy him.
Amen. That's true. Okay. Anybody else?
I want to read a scripture I got today.
All right. Go ahead.
Romans 14, starting with verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way, or an occasion of falling. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, save that to him who accounts anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Amen.
Verse 11.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty much all the things we've been hearing.
Yep.
To not judge and to obey your conscience, and because you're going to be standing before God. We're going to be standing before God.
Amen. Amen. I'm just reading through it again. All right, anybody else?
Michael, I wanted to say something about President Trump. We prayed last week he would become president. Praise God, he did. I read a report recently that disturbed me. I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know if y'all heard of Pastor Lindsey Williams. He claims that he has connections with the elite, the Illuminati. And he says they're outraged that Trump is president and that they vow by January 20th to do something about it to prevent it. They have 11 different ways, supposedly, that they're going to try to make it to where he does not take the oath of presidency. So I would just like to pray for Donald Trump's protection.
Okay, that was Obama?
President Trump.
No, I mean, who came up with the deal that they had another way to... Well, I guess I missed. You're breaking up a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, I think I got the gist of it.
Well, is it Illuminati? They don't want Trump as president.
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely.
He's not sworn in yet, but they vowed to prevent him from becoming president on January 20th, and they have 11 different ways, like Plan B, Plan C, but, you know, one don't work, they're going to... I don't know if they've hired assassins or what their deal is, but they say that he will not become president. So, you know, God's in control and He can do whatever He wants despite their plans. So,
well, I can tell you this much: we've seen prophecy where God's going to take care of all Trump's enemies come here shortly. He said in 3 days he'll take care of them, and by that, in other words, it'll take a combination of 3 days to take care of all his enemies. And that's what we ought to be praying about, is that God would expose them and take care of them. And Lord, we thank you for protecting Trump too. Go ahead, Bill, I'll let you pray.
Father God, we just uplift Donald Trump and his family and the people that work with him, and we just ask for your divine intervention and protection with them all, that you would thwart any plans that anyone has against him, and that you would just supernaturally just put a hedge of protection around him, that no matter what anybody plans or tries to do, that this nothing will come of it, and in fact it will come back on them. And just pray that you give Donald Trump the wisdom and knowledge and understanding wherewithal to guide us in this country in preferably and hopefully a godly way. I heard rumors, I don't know if it's true, Lord, but that Donald Trump was born again 3 months ago. So I praise you, Lord, if that's true, and I pray that he just grows in knowledge and wisdom of Christ, and you give him great discernment, Lord, of how to deal things. I know he's not educated in politics, but I pray that you bless his advisors and everyone that's around him at the board meetings and when they're discussing what to do for the people in this nation and the policies they have in place, and just clean up the White House, Lord. Just pray that your presence comes in and your spirit and guide him supernaturally. And we thank you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, to your glory and praise, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, we thank you for the prophecies that you've given us. I'll tell you about one of them that we had. Somebody had a dream here locally, I believe it was Bill, Bill Steenland, that in the dream, Trump was dragging a cross up to the top of the White House, to the Capitol. I think it's to the Capitol. He was dragging a cross up to the Capitol. Is that right, Brandy? Is he still on here? Or Judy? I believe that's right. I think it's Bill. But anyway, that Trump was dragging the cross up to the White House or on top of the Capitol, and then the dream ended, which tells us that that's where he wanted to take this nation, is under the Christian banner of Jesus Christ. You know? Now, that's a good thing. I don't believe he'll fulfill his full term from the prophecies we've seen, but he's going to head it in the right direction. And I believe God's going to bless him mightily with wisdom and good people around him. So we'll just see. how it transpires. And you know something? When God says something and we believe it and we keep praying it and we keep thanking him for it, it'll happen. It'll happen. I know it's going to be an uphill battle for him. It always is when you're dealing with career politicians. They talk out of both sides of the mouth. And so we just have to pray and know that God's working in the man. And I'd heard that too, Bill, that he was saved here a couple of weeks ago. I think he's even going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe. And we've had some other revelations that the man child was going to be guiding him too. So you can't get any better than that as a president.
Did you get that video, Michael, I sent you about him? He was surrounded by probably 50 ministers, and they were all prophesying and praying over him.
Yeah, I got that.
It was supposed to be that day that he got saved that one of them, or several of them, led him in the Lord's Prayer, and not the Lord's Prayer, but led him into salvation.
Yeah, okay. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I saw that. There was, you know, I tell you something we need to be praying against too is this false prophetic movement getting in there and working with him. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to give him great discernment and the people around him great discernment. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just bind up those false prophets and false shepherds from having any access to him in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that supernaturally you're going to give him wisdom and understanding to know the things that you want him to know, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, set your big old angels up out and around him and his family. And we thank you, Lord, you're going to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. While we're on the subject, I'm going to... I think, Bill, that you might still be not muted. I'm hearing some feedback.
All right, I'll mute it.
Okay. That Julian Assange may be let go here shortly from the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I think they've about to come to an agreement with Sweden and the UK and the USA that would allow him to go free from Ecuador without any chance of arrest. But, you know, I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust him any further than I could throw him. So, Father, I just lift up Julian Assange to you, and I ask for your protection around about him, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I know you're going to do it, Lord. He's done a great service to this nation by exposing the corrupt, evil ways of the politicians up there in power now, Lord. And I thank you for it. Thank you. You're going to protect him, Father. In Jesus' name. Somebody is not muted. I don't know who it is, but somebody is not muted. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from it. Okay. That's better. Much better. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? A word from the Lord. What's the Lord telling you?
Yeah, so the verses I got this morning, Michael, they're in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 14 and 15. I thank God that I baptized none of you save Cyrus and Gaius. Lest any man should say that you were baptized into my name. And if you go back up in verse 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. But they be perfect together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And as I read that, and in this chapter he's speaking to the Christians, and as I was reading that, I guess I was feeling the Lord was saying that as we share the word with people that they don't look to us, that they look to the true gospel, and that that's what they base their what they how they feel and what they know. And when they do that, then we will all speak the same, and there won't be no division among us. And so that's what I felt when I read that this morning.
Amen. You know, I long for that. It's when there's no division, there's no faction, there's no, we're all in one accord. That's going to be some awesome times. Thank you, Father. We're getting there. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I got. Daniel 2. I got 18, but I wanted to read one before that and a few after, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. Because when you said, Wade said secret earlier, I thought, oh man, there's a secret here in this. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So I thought that seemed so appropriate for this time and what's happening in Washington, D.C. and everywhere else.
Amen. Right on time, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Lord puts them in place. He puts them there, and he gonna take care of them. But he works through us, so we have to be very vigilant in our and diligent in our prayer time.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was going to mention, too. I think the Lord is telling me that I know the night of the election, we went to bed fairly early. We didn't hear see the whole thing. And then later I thought when I heard that there was so many people praying between 12 and 3 and things rapidly changed, I thought, now why wasn't that me? You know, why wasn't I one of those? Why can't I be up in the middle of the night, you know?
Yeah, me too.
3 hours? 3 hours?
Well, you know, did you see that graph?
Yes, I did, and I thought, why can't I do that? You know, I don't know how I could do it. I should have.
Well, we prayed before that day. We prayed for it that day. And coupled with the ones that were, you know, all over the world actually were praying for this man. Prayers all over the world went up for Donald Trump.
Oh, I know.
In this election.
Yeah, he's been on my mind a lot. I've been praying a lot.
He's been likened to Cyrus in the Old Testament, you know, who Hezekiah, he commissioned Hezekiah to go rebuild Jerusalem.
And did I hear David Eel say that Putin is another Cyrus? Did I hear him say that Sunday night?
That what?
Did he say that? Did, oh, maybe it was, oh, that was something, never mind. It was something Stan heard from somebody.
Okay. Now you got my curiosity up.
Well, I'll let you talk to Stan, and then he can tell you what he heard. Is that,
okay.
Is that what? Okay,
yeah.
Here he is.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where I read that, but somebody was talking about Soros, I believe, and how Putin had put out this warrant for him. And this person was just saying that they felt Putin and Trump would are both fitting the type of Cyrus in their respective nations.
Yep, it very well could be. You know, Putin has made allusion. He has alluded to the fact that, you know, he's a Christian too, he says. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he believes. Most of those are Russian Orthodox over there, and they're, I don't know, you know. But anyway, we just, he sure has been for the American people. Putin has. He's voiced it a lot. He's been against this left Democrats, these ultra-left Democrats in America. They've caused him a lot of trouble, caused him. In fact, he said that he thought that if Hillary was in there, that they'd be in war with the USA within just a short while. And as far as the warrant, it's a dead or alive warrant, is what I heard. That, and it came about, just think of this now, it came about right after Putin and Trump had their little talk on the telephone. And so I don't know if that's something that they both talked about and decided. I don't know. We'll see. Makes no difference. The man, George Soros, is an evil man. He's created problems everywhere he's stuck his finger in it. And he's a leftist, he's a globalist, and he's an anarchist. And he's a billionaire. I don't know how many times over, but he's a billionaire, and he gives a lot of money away to foment trouble. So we'll see what happens. All right, anybody? Go ahead.
I was just saying, he's definitely working for Satan.
Yep, he certainly is. His son, too, Alexander. He's got a son, Alexander, that I think he's grooming him to take his place. I don't know how old George is, but he's got to be up in his 90s. Close to it. He was a guy who did some Nazi war crimes back in World War II as a teenager. So, I don't know. All right, anybody else get a word, or what's the Lord telling you? Andrew, what's the Lord telling you?
Well, lately I've been looking at reviewing the Prophecy Club tapes that David Eales has, that someone gave me. And, you know, just trying to study more of the endless amount of videos you have that and the books that you have, and keep up with my reading, and that's about it. You know, I think he's trying to draw me to study a lot more, and really really move toward taking up your cross and following him, because you know, the when you don't have really anybody with like knowledge, like what I got from Unleavened Bread, there's a tendency to get really tired of just constantly listening to people at my workplace that are just all worldly and think about worldly stuff. So it's hard sometimes to stay focused. And then that's just mainly it, trying to stay focused. I guess stay focused is what he's trying to tell me.
Amen. Well, that's pretty much what he's doing with me, too, to stay focused. And I'm doing best I can here with his help. With the Lord's help, we can do anything, you know. God is so good. All right, anybody else? You know, Lord, I used to years ago, and it really worked for me, is praying scripturally. By that I mean finding scriptures in there that were prayers for me, like Ephesians 1 and, let's start at 16 and go through 19. No, wait, I'm sorry, through 20. And I'm going to I'm gonna. What I would do, I would take this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and I would put it in, put my name in there, where the ye's and all of those things were, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. I would pray this way: I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, I would pray that for myself every day years ago, and the Lord would give me, my eyes would just open up to the Word of God, and I'd understand things that I couldn't understand before. And did you know that if you've got a loved one or something like that, that you can't talk to, that they're having trouble understanding basic principles of the true gospel, pray this for them. Pray it for them like this: I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of let's say, Jeanette, in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto her, Jeanette, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of her understanding being enlightened, that she may know what is the hope of his call. Y'all see what I'm talking about? You pray that for whoever you want to get wisdom that's having a stumbling block in their understanding of the truth of the gospel, and watch God work. Just do it. You don't have to tell them. Just go ahead and pray that for them. Put them in there. Put their name in there, and watch what happens. You'll see some mighty changes. You'll see some big changes. You have to believe. Remember that. Mark 11:24, you know. When you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. So when you pray that, believe that you have received, and they have received, and watch what happens. And also Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, you can pray that for yourself as well. And all of these would help you do that, you know. We got to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation of Christ and his word if they're going to grow. And it ain't going to, that knowledge is not going to be imparted to any of us through our intellect. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to us, right? And if we start praying these Ephesian prayers for them, you're going to see results in every one of their lives. And, you know, and pray for it for yourself, too. I used to pray for myself, and the Lord would just open up the word to me. It was just amazing.
Michael, what was the first verses? Ephesians what?
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and the second was Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. And you're going to see a change when you do that. Now, you know, something else I found out. You know what? Let me find that verse. Has anybody ever been praying these for yourself or somebody? Those Ephesians verses before?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
I have too.
Awesome. I got that from Kenneth Hagin years and years ago to do that. Hang on, I'm trying to find something here. Let's see here, just real quick. I think it's in John. Oops.
Hello, Michael.
Hey.
Lisa.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's
I
up?
I just wanted to say that several years ago, before Albert was on fire for the Lord, I had listened to a message from Ida Mae Hammond, and it was called, I think, something like The Not So Good Wife or The Good Wife. And she was talking about, like, how to submit to your husband and stuff. But there's scriptures she talked about, too, praying for your husband, those same exact scriptures. And she gave several more, too. I was just looking for them to add to it. But yeah, I started praying that every day for Albert. I would put his name in there and just keep praying for him. And the Lord answered those prayers. So I just wanted to give glory to God.
Praise God. So Albert's the product of that type of prayer, huh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know. I don't doubt that there's a lot of people came in through that prayer. That's a good one. Okay. Another one that I pray is, you know, when we have loved ones out there that are lost as a goose, and we've been praying for them for years and years and years, and I started just here recently, but I picked it up from another study, is to pray that the Lord of harvest would send out laborers of his harvest to these loved ones that aren't saved. And that's a scriptural prayer, because you know as well as I do that when we talk to our loved ones about Jesus that aren't saved, they don't listen. They ain't going to listen. But if you pray that prayer, the Lord of the harvest would send a laborer. Just tell him, Lord, send a laborer that he would listen to or she would listen to. And I thank you, Father, that that's going to happen. We thank you, Father, for granting repentance to them and bringing them into the kingdom at that time, drawing them close to you, Lord, because you have sent the Lord of the laborer into his harvest. And you pray that prayer like that, and you watch what happens. I believe God's going to answer all of our prayers very quickly when we do that. Does that make sense? Good to me. That's Matthew 9:38, by the way. And I think it's in John, too. Has anybody done that? It's not something the Lord gave me. It's something I heard a teacher talking about it, and made sense to me, and he explained that he had an uncle that he'd been praying for and fasting for 14 years, and he prayed that. He said within 3 weeks that man was saved. So I liked it. It sounded good to me, and I'm praying it. Praise God. Anybody else got a way to pray that you get your answers real quick? You know, we talked about it here a while back about some steps to get our prayers answered. But, you know, there's more than one way. There's more than one kind of prayer. There's all kinds of prayers. Anybody else ever use that Lord of the Harvest, send a laborer to your friend or your loved one that won't talk to you? Hey, Malcolm.
I'm out here splitting wood and pretty cold, dark. But I was just going to mention about, and I've mentioned this many times before in Psalms 43, where it says, actually somebody taught me to pray this too, and that is, send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead Michael or Matthew or Anna, whoever, Let them lead Michael. Let them bring him into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. So I'd like to pray that for people that I'm praying for. Because, you know, the light and the truth is just, that little section of scripture is just so awesome. And it's not saying that you help you to lead them into, you know, just send out thy light and thy truth. Let it lead them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just remind me, what did you just ask, Michael, because I wanted to say something there.
I asked if anyone else had used scripture to for salvation for loved ones or something like that.
But something else, though, another kind of a different question. You just ask it.
Well, I've used Matthew 9:38, Lord of the harvest, send laborers of harvest. Yeah.
Then there's Luke 10:2, which is the same thing. And a lot of people set their alarm for Luke. Set their alarm for 10 o'clock in 2 minutes. So you can do it either morning and evening, which is the same thing, send forth your laborers into the harvest.
Amen.
Movement. So if you're willing, it depends on how late you stay up, but if you can set your alarm for 10:02 in the evening and 10:02 in the morning. And whenever the alarm goes off, you pray that prayer.
Yeah, what book is that in?
Luke 10:2. In some groups for a while.
I didn't get that. I was talking while you was talking, I guess.
Doubled on you.
I know.
Go ahead.
I was asking you what book. I still missed the book.
The book of Luke.
Luke.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Yep, there it is. 10:2. The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise God. Okay. Well, Malcolm, while you're,
yes,
you're unmuted, Bill McAwee is learning to get his license, his ham license.
Who is that again?
Bill, on the conference call here, is...
cool. Is he going for his technician?
Well, he's going for his license. I don't know which one he's going to go. Well, he has to go for the tech first and then go for the general.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Well, all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Well, we'll talk later about that.
Okay. All right. Well, if you and Bill stay on afterwards, we'll talk a little bit of radio.
Sure.
Okay. All right, anybody else get a word from the Lord, getting words from the Lord about what's going on? You know, what I'm thinking is that the Lord is fixing to show himself strong to the world and to this nation especially. And I think it's going to turn a lot of people back to him, hopefully. I that's what I pray anyway. If he takes care of this by himself, This evil, corrupt politicians we've got up in Washington, D.C., which he says he's going to. He's given us dreams and he's given us prophecies. I know Ken Dewey has one. That he's going to do it in a day's time, in 3 days' time. So, man, if that happens, that'd be awesome.
Michael?
And he's, yes.
What are you folks thinking about... A sequence of events here. I've been talking with Stephen about this, and Stephen Borchardt. And
is he out yet?
No, he's not.
Okay.
He felt like it might look too eager on the judge's part to let about it as soon as they find out he's not really guilty. Already. Well, I won't get into all that. But
yeah. Okay.
It seems like for it to be a great deliverance and before going into tribulation, it seems like they're, because right now you have to kind of dig to find out these guys are Satanists. You have to kind of dig to find out that Hillary was stinking drunk the night of the election, and really tried to, she physically assaulted the, as you probably already know, the chairman of the party and another
who
person,
did?
And the Secret Service had to was Hillary.
Oh, she went psycho on
the news. Pardon?
She go psycho on him.
Yeah, she did. And then she, of course, she was using, as she usually does in private, some very foul language, and she told the party chairman, she said a very nasty word about the people that were waiting for her to come out and speak, and said, you go do it, talking to John Podesta, which he did. But she was really drunk that night. It was really sad. I mean, I feel for all the people who sincerely thought that she was the real thing, you know, that she might be able to help them. But, like, what I'm trying to say simply is that it seems like even now a lot of this, the really corruption is been hidden. And it seems that it seems likely that there's going to be a major hit against the United States by, you know, most likely Soros, whatever his forces are, and then the sequence of events where the governor of Texas, you know, steps in and then finally gets Trump put in.
So, yeah.
It just seems like there's some bad stuff coming just in the immediate future. Just like your take on that.
Well, David had an interesting thing that happened to him today. And he'll probably, y'all listen to the broadcast tomorrow because he'll probably come out with it. I think God warned him about what's fixing to happen. So y'all be sure and listen in tomorrow on David's part anyway. Well, listen, we're about out of time. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we leave? Well, Father, we just thank you for talking to each one of us, Lord, and showing us our weaknesses and showing us where we need to shore up here and shore up over there and bring out that armor that you've provided us with, Lord. And, Father, just place it in our hearts to follow through on these things. And I just thank you, Father, for that. And I... You know, you promised us a good night's sleep in your word, and I just pray that everybody here gets a good night's sleep tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that we don't have to worry anything about what's going on up here in D.C. because you're in control. And when you ask us to pray, Lord, we pray against things, we pray for things, whatever you want us to pray for, because we're the vessels you used for that, Lord, and we just feel privileged. Very privileged to be able to work with you, for you, and to serve our fellow man, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for all these lovely people that are listening, that aren't even on the fellowship tonight, Lord. But and especially the ones that are here, Lord, they're a special place in my heart, and I know they are in yours too, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints.